Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Fiction Between Us by Julie Olivia, narrated by Lou Banks and Patrick Braun. 1. Quinn. Once upon a time, in the hot humidity of a late Georgia summer, a queen ices her swollen lip. Or, rather, a theme park employee masquerading as a queen. An employee who, currently, can't tell if the metallic tang in her mouth is from leftover summer rainfall or blood. I promise this is a funny story, but every fairy tale has a few stepsisters with plucked-out eyes or an old woman tricking children. Trust me, I'm in the business of happily ever afters, and mine starts with a bloody lip. I'm backstage at Honeywood Fun Park's outdoor amphitheater, staring at a rickety folding chair in the corner. I want nothing more than to collapse into it, but I've worked as Queen Bee for almost 10 years. I know better than to sit down while wearing the poofy pink ball gown. Costuming would have my head. The walkie-talkie in my non-ice-holding fist scratches to life. My blood pressure spikes, and it's not because I'm overwhelmed by stomach butterflies or dreamy, lovey-dovey thoughts vignetted in peachy pinks and creams. No, it is due to stress from the other voice coming over the walkie's line, Landon Arden. "Your heels are hiding from me," he says. I can hear the smile in his tone. Everything he says is with a laugh or a chuckle or a grin. Even if I can't see it, I know it's there. I push the button on the side to talk back. No, they're in the corner under the tool.
"That word means nothing to me," he responds.
My heart pounds in my ears. Once again, and very notably, not from love. If this type of annoyance is love, no wonder the divorce rate is so high. It's the poofy skirt that looks like fishing.
"Yep, got him," he says with a light, "ha." "Weird name. Tool."
"The name's been around forever," I say.
"Then why haven't I heard of it?"
"It's not my job to keep a log of your shortcomings." I hear him chuckle, a sound so low that the walkie-talkie practically vibrates.
"Surprising," he says. "I'll be at the stage in 5, Barbie."
Barbie. Cue steam coming out of my ears. I don't respond to him, instead groaning when I hand the walkie-talkie back to our stagehand, Emily, who giggles when she takes it. "Barbie," she echoes, almost a whisper to herself. "I'm Queen Bee to you, ma'am," I say with a pointed finger and a smile.
"Ah, so only Landon can call you Barbie?" Emily asks.
"No, nobody can," I grumble as my smile falls. "He just does it anyway." As head of security, Landon thinks he can get away with anything. Honestly, with that dimpled smile of his, skirting murder might be possible for him, but I see right through it. I have since I was 15, when he and his brood of friends taunted me in the high school halls. My best friend's twin brother and my old high school bully receives 0 extra privileges from me. The stage's side door opens, and Honeywood Fun Park's general manager, Fred, walks through. He takes one look at me and sighs. It's a fair reaction. On one hand, I'm dressed as Queen Bee, elegant and graceful in a pink ballroom dress, complete with delicate tulle sleeves hanging off my shoulders. On the other hand, I've got a busted lip and bare feet with black toenail polish on display, the antithesis of Queen Bee's color palette. I look like she's completed her villain origin story. "It's not as bad as it looks," I automatically respond.
"It doesn't look great," he says.
"Landon is bringing my shoes."
And why aren't they here to begin with? He asks.
It's a long story.
And the ice? He asks.
You don't want to know? I cringe at my own words. Yeah, okay, so this isn't a good look for me.
Emily, what happened?
He asks, turning to the 18-year-old next to me. Emily tugs at her blonde braid, wincing.
She's totally gonna break.
Quinn got into it with a guest, again, says my once-loyal coworker. Fred's eyes widen, and his hands go to his hips in the pose that stretches his yellow honeywood polo across his stomach. Okay, wait. That's not why I have a bloody lip, though, I quickly say. I wouldn't openly fight a guest. Jeez, give me more credit than that. But Fred leans in for the whole truth. But Buzzy did try to defend me, I say, and he did faint.
Christ,
Fred says, wiping his meaty hand over his face, pulling down at his thick mustache. Some of the park's summer newbies think they're invincible. The teen dressed as Buzzy the Bear was trying to distract the guest who was bothering me, but he got too fancy with cartwheels and wheeled himself right into heat exhaustion. One minute, we had been taking pictures with kids, and the next minute, Buzzy the Bear was prostrate on the ground, his big bobblehead detached next to him, revealing the red-faced teenager underneath. Every kid screamed. I guess I would have, too, if I had seen my hero beheaded. I caught him when he fell, I say, but his costume zipper got my lip. I lower my bag of ice to display my small battle scar. Fred hisses in air. I carried him to the dressing room with the medics, and then it started raining and it was just a whole thing. See? Told you it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
Quinn, Fred starts.
Let's focus on the here and now instead, I say, holding out my hands. I left my shoes in the dressing room. I ran here in my slides because of the rain. No, don't give me that face, Fred. And security is bringing them now. No harm, no foul.
No, go back to the then and when, Fred says. Who was Buzzy defending you from? Do we need to get a chaperone for you again? One who isn't Buzzy?
I normally have staff members accompany me to signings. They help mitigate the bold men who like my exposed shoulders and flighty fake laugh. But with our staff shortage lately, we've been utilizing Buzzy the Bear as my bodyguard instead. Kids love seeing him, so it knocks out two birds with one stone. Sort of. Buzzy is not effective with intimidation. His huge smile is too cute and welcoming. No, I say, ignoring his question of who Buzzy defended me from. I'm capable of handling myself. I am, mostly because I'm getting too old for the shenanigans of older male guests. I'm almost 30 years old. If I can't do anything else, I can at least manage grabby men with a queenly smile.
We can always bring back Ranger Randy, Fred suggests.
God, no. Ranger Randy is another Honeywood character known for his thick thighs and short shorts. We pulled him from rotation when one too many women slipped their number in his pocket. Plus, we always hire the cheesiest Ken doll-looking dudes with dead eyes, plastic smiles, and super white teeth. I don't want Ranger Randy again, I say.
Hey, Em, is Her Majesty still there?
Landon's voice crackles through the walkie. I take it back. I'd rather have Ranger Randy than this man. Emily's eyes dart up to me, and I roll my eyes dramatically. Yes, she says into the walkie with a laugh. Quinn's here.
Can you put her on?
Landon asks, his tone sweet yet oddly firm. I shake my head and mouth, no. But Emily holds out the walkie to me with a grin anyway. I swear she gets a kick out of our bickering. I take it and press the button. Yes, master of the underworld? I toss a smile at Emily, who giggles back. Landon chuckles through the walkie, too, and my face falls. I kinda like that one, he says. It was for Emily's benefit. Go on.
Honest question for you,
Landon says. I might be dishonest with my answer.
I'd expect nothing less.
I snort. No, don't laugh with him. Ahem. Your question? I ask.
Did you steal my shorts?
Pardon?
I said, did you steal my shorts?
Why in the world would I steal your shorts?
That's a question I ask myself, too.
Then you have your answer.
I don't believe that answer,
he says. I wouldn't either. I did, in fact, steal his security uniform shorts. Or at least the only clean pair in his size. I knew he would have to wear one size up. I liked the idea of him being annoyed all day. Emily curls her lips in, hiding a not-so-hidden smile. Fred grunts out a mix between a chuckle and a scoff. At least my boss finds me funny. I peer out the small hole cut into the stage curtains. Our outdoor amphitheater is filling up. It's only because it rained, and people are escaping under the canopy tarp, trying to bypass the errant raindrops falling from the trees. Plus, it's the last week before our theme park switches to its fall season schedule. Kids are taking advantage of what feels like the last days of summer. But is our park as packed as it could be right before autumn? As packed as it has been in years past? No, not really.
Big crowd? Fred asks.
I can hear the hopefulness in his voice. Bigger than usual, I lie. I don't like seeing him sad. Honeywood Fun Park isn't perfect. I've worked here in some capacity since I was a teenager, and I don't think we have a single perfect roller coaster bone in our theme park body. Our bear mascot costumes have slightly matted fur. We still play 70s rock tunes over the speakers. And we're based on some kooky woman's children's book series that is barely in the cultural consciousness. But despite its shortcomings, Honeywood has heart. You can see it in the way the sun rises over our stone Buzzy the Bear statue fountain. You can hear it in the tinkling bell of the gift shop or the symphony of employees' laughter. You can smell it in the bumblebee-shaped pancakes and syrup. It's familiar. It's home. We're just going through a rough time, is all. Fred's mustache tilts downward at my answer. We'll be fine, I reassure, patting his arm.
You're right, he says.
His smile returns slowly, then all at once, jollier than before.
It's fine. It'll all be fine.
Okay, well, let's not get too optimistic, I say. He shrugs like a mother who just got asked if Santa was real, complete with a cheeky smile. Ah, so he's got secrets today. What are you hiding, Fred? His smile only gets bigger. The walkie-talkie buzzes to life.
I'm here,
Landon says. I look through the curtain again, and there he is, in all his glory. Landon Arden's tall frame crests over the hill to the outdoor amphitheater like he's freaking Prince Charming on a white horse. My sparkly high heels are in his hand, and from here, they look like a shining beacon of light. His button-up security shirt spans across his broad chest and... Wait a second. What is he wearing? His shorts. They're... tight. Real tight. Oh, crap. Instead of picking one size up for his shorts, he chose one size down. Thick, very toned, definitely doesn't skip leg day thighs look like they're about to bust out of his brown shorts, Hulk style. A UPS man gone wild. My face heats, my jaw tenses, and it isn't until after the shame from my unbroken stare washes over me that I realize I've been gripping the curtain tight in my fist. Emily takes my place, peering through the hole. Her mouth gapes open.
Oh, my God!
Keep it in your pants, Em, I say, leaning so that I have a clear view again. With each step Landon takes, his shorts cling tighter, and with each inch they ride up, many women's eyes follow.
Good Lord! Stage left, I croak through the walkie,
and maybe wear work-appropriate shorts? I see him tilt his chin to the side and press the walkie clip to his shirt.
I don't know what stage left means, he says. And it's funny. I actually thought you'd be nicer to me, considering I'm the one bringing your shoes.
Bribery doesn't work on me. He doesn't reply, but I see him grin under that full chestnut red beard. Landon navigates through the crowd and makes his way to the opposite side of the stage.
Stage left! Stage left!
I hiss into the walkie.
That means nothing, he answers.
I look across the stage right as he appears, notably on the wrong side of the backstage area. He glances out over the set pieces. The big wooden honeycomb standee spans from floor to ceiling.
Dang, that's huge, he says.
Wow, a sentence you haven't heard often, huh? I quip.
Thanks, Barb. You know how self-conscious I can be down there.
I grind my jaw at his shortening of my nickname. I practically smash the walkie button. What you do down there is your business. He chuckles.
Kinda sounds like you think about it enough for the both of us.
I pause, and we meet each other's eyes across the stage. Standing toe to toe, well, with 40 feet between us, like a Western showdown. His slow, crooked smile spreads up his mouth, and I almost expect him to tip his hat or place a hand on a holster. His smile is admittedly pleasant, dimpled, and so, so happy, like the world is one giant joke to him. Or maybe I am. Wouldn't be the first time he's laughed at me. That's it. It's official. I'm going to need blood pressure medication to stop from losing it with this man. Stop staring like a goon and just come around to the other side, I say into my walkie. He leans toward the walkie clipped on his chest.
Nah, I'll just go behind.
Behind? He moves, and at that, Emily, Fred, and I rush to the very back of the stage, looking behind the backdrop curtain. On the opposite side, Landon is pressing his bulky chest against the brick wall. From this angle, you can see his muscled curves, the large chest, the tapered waist, the ass. Geez, I bet he has some secret social media account where he posts all his stupid gym selfies. I bet he takes nude pictures just to admire them later. Landon's boot hooks onto the edge of the curtain with his next step. And then I see it all happen in slow motion. The tug, the trip, the fall. He tears down the curtain, falling on an open stage, tangled in a large pile of black fabric and brown clothes. I'm cringing. Emily is cringing. Fred is grasping his chest, and I fear he might be having a heart attack. Landon sits up onto his knees, throwing his head back. His hat slings across the stage. His reddish-brown hair hangs limp with a Clark Kent-like curl. The top button of his shirt is popped open. A tuft of amber-colored chest hair peeks out. He looks like a sacrifice to the sex gods. My mouth feels like it's been stuffed full of cotton. For a moment, I wonder if it could get worse. But then I notice the large rip just below his belt, exposing pizza printed underwear. I cover my mouth with my hand, and after that, I hear a child yell loudly, "Granny, look! It's Ranger Randy!" It just got way, way worse.
2. Landon. I have a recurring nightmare that I'm naked on a stage, making breakfast. If you look at my current situation from that perspective, I guess I'm not doing too bad. For one, there's no popping bacon threatening my lower bits, and two, I'm not cooking for an audience of over 100 people. However, I am on my knees, center stage, in my hometown theme park. Women and children are watching, and now the crowd is chanting. So, not exactly ideal.
Ranger Randy.
The chant coordinated so quickly that I can't remember when it started. I reach up to rebutton my shirt and cover up some parts of me, so I'm not going full Chippendales. But there's only string in its place.
Ranger Randy.
The chant continues. I don't like this type of attention. Even when I was on the football field, I wore a helmet that concealed my face. But now, I am openly disarmed with nowhere to go. So, I do the only thing that makes sense to me in my panic stupor. I throw a thumbs up, grin, and say, "Hi, kids, I'm Ranger Randy." My sentence slices through the audience like a fresh blade. There's deafening silence. The earth tilts on its axis. Decades pass. Centuries. Then, the crowd erupts into cheers. They go absolutely bananas. And it's not just the kids. It's everyone. Teens are tugging at their hair. Moms are high-fiving. I might as well be headlining for Kiss with an electric guitar and leather pants. The walkie-talkie clipped to my chest pocket scratches on. "Quinn for Bennett?" My back stiffens at the sound of her voice, but there's no time to react before another lower one scratches over. "Go for Bennett." I twist the knob at the top, lowering the volume so the audience doesn't hear the faint sound of, "We need maintenance to Honey Pleasure Stage." Not that they would hear it anyway. They're too busy getting swept up in this moment. I raise my hand as if to say, "Let's tone it down." But it only gets more cheers. As head of security at Honeywood, I have contingency plans for everything. Guest threats, storms. I even keep all the security uniforms at the park in case my guys forget theirs at home. I try to remain prepared. But this? Children screaming a fictional character's name at my face? This is out of my wheelhouse. Suddenly, whoops and hollers explode at a volume I didn't know was possible. My heart pounds in my chest, but I quickly realize the cheers aren't for me. They're for her. Stepping out on stage, barefoot with black nail polish, is Queen Bee. Both my heart and my knees sink onto the wooden stage, melting into the lumps of fabric around me. My shoulders drop, my palms drag against the floor, and I try to keep myself upright. But it's hard to stay composed in the presence of royalty, under the eyes of my sister's best friend, Quinn Sauer. Even at her pixie-sized height of 5 foot nothing, her presence is still formidable. The powder blush is worn like war paint on her cheeks, just above the shimmering pink lips. Only Quinn Sauer could make a gentle, bubbly character also look like she'd step on you. But not in a dominatrix way or anything. Well, maybe. She looks elegant, powerful, gorgeous.
"Ranger Randy?"
she asks over the crowd. Is that you crashing down in my honeywood forest? Queen Bee's voice is lighter than Quinn's usual low, sarcastic tone. It's airy, aristocratic, but not too haughty to be unapproachable. It's just right. A smile twitches at the corner of my lips, and my heart thumps. There it is, the familiar feeling. Her head whips to the audience, the elegant blonde curls bouncing with the motion.
Why, friends of Honeywood, do you think our good ranger is startled?
She asks, blinking out to them with doe eyes. All the kids laugh at the question. I clear my throat, realizing I've been sitting here in silence. I'm just... My voice sounds weird on stage, echoey. I'm just patrolling the forest, I announce. It sounds forced and awful. Improvisation isn't my strong suit by any stretch of the imagination.
And is Honeywood safe, Ranger Randy?
Quinn continues. Safe as a warm blanket, I say, with an immediate cringe.
A blanket that you seem to be tangled in, she says.
The kids clutch their stomachs in laughter. Quinn holds her hand up to her mouth and smiles back at them.
And how did you return to our secret forest, Ranger Randy?
Quinn continues, the deceptively sweet voice floating over to me, like a kiss from an angel. Before I can answer, she turns to the audience.
Do you think maybe he tried to fly in here like Bumble the Bee?
She asks them conspiratorially.
Yeah,
the kids say through collective giggles.
Or maybe,
she continues,
did he try to growl through the forest like Buzzy the Bear?
Yeah,
a more enthusiastic chorus of agreement.
Well, something tells me,
she says, tapping her finger to her chin as she looks back at me.
You've come to bring me a gift?
It's been so long since I've seen Quinn perform as Queen Bee. I forgot how talented she was. I can't speak. I'm too distracted by her soft Barbie blonde hair, overwhelmed by how much I've missed her, humbled by how unbelievably screwed I am. I've avoided Quinn for almost 2 weeks since I moved back. We've talked over the walkies, sure, but this, her dressed as Queen Bee, it's like a dart to my heart, right on the bullseye. A gift, Your Majesty? I barely get out the words.
Why, I believe you have my shoes,
she says.
My magical shoes?
She oohs and ahs into the crowd. The kids echo it with giggles.
Right, yes,
I say, fumbling to grab the sparkling heels near me. Of course, I stand, shifting out from under the mess I've made. Your Majesty, if I may.
Oh, good sir, I'll come to you,
Quinn says hurriedly, walking toward me with her hands held out beside her. When she reaches me, she leans in toward my ear. My heart pounds so loud that I wonder if she can hear it. The scent of her is intoxicating. She smells sweet as honey. Then her normal voice comes through with a hiss whisper of,
"Don't move, pizza butt."
There's the woman I know. I smile. Gotta say, I'm loving these new nicknames.
No, your shorts,
she says. I squint at her for a moment, taking in her big green eyes and the scent of her spearmint breath, before the words hit me. Oh, pizza butt. I finally realize why the cool air felt like it was disproportionately hitting my backside. I ripped them, didn't I? I whisper back.
Bingo.
Yep, pizza butt. I wore my lucky pair of pizza-printed underwear. Or is it the donut pair of underwear that's lucky? Quinn looks at me with a raised eyebrow. I can tell there's an in-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?